You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Rishon, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Sunshine, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Produce Place is an amazing grace place because it's maintained by grace. And I'm right there. It's between Panita Causeway and the Wickham Road. And I am Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. You'll see a sign, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, a lot of time has passed since 1 Samuel chapter 7. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, the young prophet and judge of Israel, Samuel, led a wayfaring nation in a day of repentance. The whole nation repented and God saved the nation. But a lot has happened then. As President Ronald Reagan said, we're only one generation from a nation becoming barbarians. The nation has gone astray. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, what happens when a nation chooses a man king instead of God king? Parentheses, a prophecy of Marxism, parentheses. What happens when a nation chooses a man king instead of God king? Parentheses, a prophecy of Marxism. In 1848, an atheist, Karl Marx, wrote the Communist Manifesto. He explained what communism believes. Communism, socialism, and Marxism are the unholy trinity. They are three in one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10:11 says these things happen to these people in the Bible. For an example, for those of us who are at the end of the age, we are at the end of the age. This chapter 8 is a prophecy of Marxism. Now, while the chapter does not say Marxism, a skunk by any other name smells just as rotten. When I teach the Bible, I asked the Holy Spirit which book to teach. Of course, I teach the whole Bible. He told me clearly to teach 1 Samuel. When I teach a book, I don't know where I'm going to be any kind of a day. I just go through the book and teach it. But God knew. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Samuel chapter 8 is addressed, of course, to the world, but a direct message to the United States of America. What happens when a nation chooses a man king instead of a God king? A prophecy of Marxism. Marxism is atheistic and filled with demons.
Verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old.
Now, this doesn't mean he was decrepit, because actually he lived to be 98 years old. But it has been a little while since he led the nation in repentance. And he's grown up now and he's got two sons. It means that he's older than he was.
Then he made his sons judges over Israel.
Now, that's the right thing. The judge was not like our wicked judges today. They were to teach the nation the Bible and lead them in the paths of the scripture there. And so that's a good thing. Any good leader in God's kingdom always looks out for the next generation. We want Max and Olivia and Carolina and Joey and Isabella and Joshua. We want you to become men and women of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, to bring the word of God to the whole wide world. So they did the right thing.
Verse 2. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba.
Beersheba was the southern part of Israel. Samuel remains very in charge. He's still the judge. He's the head judge and head the prophet there. And he takes care of northern Israel and the west and the east. So he's giving them some training. That's good.
Verse 3. And his sons walked not in his ways.
They were corrupt. They were corrupt. Remember the judge Eli before Samuel? He was a good judge. He loved the Lord. But his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, also were corrupt. Same thing here. Nothing new under the sun. We're just one generation away from being barbarians.
But turned aside after lucre.
Lucre is gain. Filthy lucre. Ill-gotten gains. Wealth.
And took bribes.
Oh, a bribe is saying, look, I've got something you want. If you'll give me something I want. Joe Biden bribed Ukraine and said, if you'll stop prosecuting my son Hunter for his crimes, I'll give you a lot of $1 million of the American taxpayers. That was a quid pro quo. They impeached Donald Trump for that. It was Joe Biden that did it.
And perverted judgment.
And perverted judgment. The head of the FBI, formerly, was James Comey. He got up and read all the guilt of Hillary Clinton, and he said she is guilty. She had actually destroyed 30,000 emails with classified information. But he said, she didn't mean it, let's don't do it. But the same FBI can raid an innocent man's Mar-a-Lago home, President Donald Trump. No justice there. No justice with these two people.
Verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah.
They had had enough of these two sons. It is a citizen's right to not want corruption in their government and to speak out and protest about it. They love Samuel. They know he's a holy man, but his sons are corrupt.
Verse 5, and said unto him, behold, thou art old.
Well, goodness gracious, thou art old, okay. Marxism has no respect for the elderly. They say in a capitalistic country like America, the elderly are a burden to society. When Barack Hussein Obama was president and pushing his Obamacare, a woman said, President Obama, would your Obamacare pay for my mother? She's 90 years old. She's quite healthy. She's mentally alert. She does not have Alzheimer's dementia, but she's got a little place in her body. She wants to have an operation. Would Obamacare pay for that? Said the daughter said, she's got such a great spirit. Obama said, I don't know what spirit is. He said, no, at her age, just make her comfortable. Marxism does not care for the elderly, and yet God says we ought to respect our elders. They have more wisdom. You can learn from them.
Amen.
And thy sons walk not in thy ways.
So they said, Samuel, your sons are not walking in the ways of God. Samuel brought them up right, but they just went astray. Sometimes that happens.
Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
We want to be like everybody else, they said. Marxism is against individualism. One of the beautiful things about America, I mean, we are individual. Look at the different restaurants. Look at the different places. Florida, we got our beaches there. And then we got mountains in North Carolina. We got cotton in South Carolina. And those skyscrapers in New York. Look at the people. We're individual. And that is God's plan. God made us all as different as snowflakes. Just look at the many-membered body of Christ. We're all one, like with the one United States of America. Jesus is the head, we are the body. But the heart has a different function and is very different from the foot. And the kidney is different from the spleen. And yet each one is individual. Marxism says you must all say the same thing. You must all believe the same thing. You must all say and do what the government tells you to do. They lie to you saying diversity, they don't mean it. And if you disagree, they will cancel you.
Yeah.
Verse 6. But the thing is, Priest Samuel, when they said, give us a king to judge us.
He didn't care about himself. He just knew the nation was about to vote for their destruction.
And Samuel prayed unto the Lord.
Oh, for a man or woman of God to pray for the nation.
Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
Any time God gives a man or woman something to say to a nation, if the nation rejects it, they have rejected God. God knew this was going to happen. It was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 17. You might want to read that for homework. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning with verse 14, the following verses. God says, okay, you're going to want to choose a king. God said, let me tell you the kind of king you should choose, Israel. First of all, the king should be one of the brethren, of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and believe that Messiah is coming through this genealogy, not a stranger. Now, remember, all these things happened to them for us at the end. The president of the United States, since we were founded a Christian nation, one nation under God, Jesus Lord, Bible book by the pilgrims there. The president of the United States of America is supposed to be a real Christian. I don't mean to say it to get elected, but a real one. Doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes or she, but it means a real Christian. Then God said, the new king must not be interested in silver and gold. The new king must care about the people, that they have what they want. In America, the president of the United States is supposed to be caring about the welfare of the people and not to take all of the money for himself and for his family and for his parties and for his ilk, okay? Looking out for the people. Make sure the people have what they need. And then God said, the new king must copy the scripture from the priests. They didn't have a copy for themselves like we do. So the new king had to call the priest, and he would copy every word of God from the scripture, the Torah there. And then he said, the new king must read that, have his own copy, read that every day, read the scripture every day, and do what it says. The president of the United States of America, as a Christian nation, which we were formed there, is supposed to have a real Bible, read the Bible every day, and do the Bible every day. And then God said, the new king must be humble. He must not be proud. He must not think that he is better than the people. He's to serve them, not they to serve him. In other words, when Hillary Clinton called all of the MAGA supporters, Make America Great Again, Trump supporters, she called us a basket of deplorables. No, 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 no wonder she didn't win. The president is supposed to care for the working class people. President Trump does. Even though he's a billionaire, he's got the heart of the regular Americans. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 8. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt.
God says they went captivity in Egypt, and I brought them out with a mighty hand, the hand of God. Before America was formed, our forefathers were pilgrims. were in tyranny in Great Britain. The 10 tribes in Great Britain were called Ephraim, but they started calling themselves Great Britain, that's Ephraim. They refused to let us worship as they please. So our forefathers of the tribe of Manasseh, the pilgrims, said, we're going to worship as we please. And God set them free from tyranny in Great Britain and brought them with the Mayflower with an old rugged cross in it to these shores. They put the cross down and dedicated this land to the glory of God the Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus, and they started their schools in churches. There we have it. So America was founded as a Christian nation.
Even unto this day.
Even unto this day.
Wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods.
But the Israelites began to worship other gods, Asherah and Baal. America has stopped worshiping the Lord as a whole. The great God of America and even the church is self-centeredness. Me, myself, and I. I wanna have fun. I wanna have a bigger house. I wanna be rich. I wanna be powerful. The first sin because somebody said I. That was Lucifer, Isaiah 14.
So they do also unto thee. Verse 9. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them.
What love God has. His arms were still outstretched to Israel. God's arms are still outstretched to America. Yeah. Yeah. He says, prophet, tell them, okay, but let me warn you what's going to happen to you. So America, you're hearing the warning of the prophet Samuel, what's going to happen to you. If you don't, every Christian in America have a day of repentance. If you continue on in your Marxism, this is what will happen. It is God's love to warn you.
Amen. Verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people.
What a wonderful thing. America, hear every word of God.
Ask of him a king. Verse 11. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you.
Here's how it's going to be. If you don't repent, America, if you keep on your communism, socialism, Marxism, if you don't get back to Jesus and the Bible, if everybody who's a Christian in America will not have a day of repentance, everybody in the government, in the media, in the education, in the business, in the churches, in the homes, here's what's going to happen to you, says the prophet.
He would take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots.
The king would ride in a fancy chariot, with all kind of horsemen riding them. But he would take about 50 of the young men from the parents there, and they would run before him and say, make way for the king, make way for the king. Marxism does not believe in the family unit. Oh, you can go ahead and have babies because they know that's going to happen. But they take your child from a very young age and teach the child what they want them to know. In other words, little boy, you can be a little girl. I would be glad to mutilate your boy so you can do that. Little girl, you can be a little boy. We'll mutilate you so you can be that. In other words, Marxism says no family unit. That's too much strength. The children must belong to the government. That is Marxism. It's happening in America.
Amen.
Verse 12. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50s.
Now that is the military. The military, as well as policemen, are to keep the country safe. Military, policemen. But what happens in Marxism, they let you take care of yourself. They even take your guns away, which is our Second Amendment. They say, only take care of the government in the country. Forget about the citizens. Let crime run rampant in the streets.
I will set them to ear his ground.
Ear is an old Anglo-Saxon word, it means plow.
And to reap his harvest.
In other words, Marxism says, I'm going to take your young men, as well as your girls, and they're going to work for me. I will tell them what to do. They will not have a career choice.
And to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Verse 13, your daughters to be confectionary.
And the girls. Marxism has no respect for women. In other words, women are to be confectionaries. You're to be perfume makers. In other words, common labor there. Make perfumes for the elite government.
And to be cooks.
Cook for all of those fancy parties while you stand in a bread line, girls.
And to be bakers.
And cook those sweet things for the people in the government so you stand in a bread line.
Verse 14. I would take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants.
Marxism does not believe in property ownership. They say it belongs to them, and they'll decide who has it. Marxism seizes your property. It's begun in America. Later on, there will be a wicked king of Israel, King Ahab, married to wicked Queen Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel have a vineyard, but it's not as good as their neighbor's vineyard, Naboth. Naboth was a man of God, and God gave him that vineyard, and it was wonderful. Ahab wanted the vineyard, but Naboth wouldn't let him have it. So Ahab and Jezebel seized the vineyard, and then they executed Naboth. Marxism against you owning any kind of property. Everything belongs to the government.
Verse 15, and he will take the tenth of your seed.
A tenth is a tithe. The word seed in the Bible is used in three different ways. In Mark 4, it's a metaphor for the word of God. We plant the word of God as a seed. Another meaning of seed is when a man impregnates a woman, and that is a seed. In this case, it's talking about 2 Corinthians 9, money. God gives seed to the sower and multiplies your seed sown. Now, a tenth is to be returned to the Lord. The first fruits of every dollar belongs to the Lord, and that we call it the tithe. We don't pay the tithe, but we return it to the Lord. He just loaned it to us. And then he blesses us. He opens the windows of heaven. He pours us out a blessing. We don't have room to receive it. He rebukes the devourer for our sake. And he multiplies our seed sown. Marxism does not believe in places of worship. Marxism closes the churches so you cannot return the tithe to the Lord, but you must give it to them because they are God and not our God. When Russia went into communism, they closed all of the churches.
And of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants.
Joe Biden's granddaughter just got married in the White House. That's Hunter Biden's daughter. You know Hunter, the laptop? Well, the granddaughter and her fiancé had lived in the White House for quite some time with all of those perks, room service, all kind of catering and parties. I guess you paid for the wedding. We, the people.
Amen. Amen. Oh. Verse 16. And he would take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work.
In other words, your children are not going to be free. Look at the countries there. Look, North Korea. Those poor people are no more than slaves. And look at China. Those people work in hot factories with no air conditioning. And if the government of China, Marxism, Communist, Socialism, wants a new kidney transplant, they just kill them alive and take it. Marxism makes your next generation slaves.
Verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants.
Okay, in Bible times, sheep were your business. We are shepherds, and we have sheep. That's your business. Marxism makes sure that all small businesses are totally annihilated. They make such heavy business regulations, you can't keep it up. With inflation, I'll tell you, you go and buy your thing wholesale, it's 10 times more than used to be retail. And look at America, many small businesses have gone out of business. Thank God that Scott is Mercy is TBS Produce Place and Mama Jo's is keeping there, Joanna. Yeah. But you see, they are get small. The reason is everybody must be low level slaves. Please give us some bread, and then they control you.
Verse 18, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen you.
You'll say, let's have a day of repentance, please. Oh, Lord, we're sorry.
And the Lord will not hear you in that day.
Uh-oh. A nation can wait too long to have a national day of repentance. If you go too far, God will write, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Don't let that happen to you, America. This is a very near last warning.
Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel.
That means they have refused to obey the voice of God.
And they said, nay.
No.
But we will have a king over us.
We will have a king. There is a king about to come before King Jesus. We're on the threshold of the fake king, the fake Christ, the Antichrist. The whole world will worship him, Revelation 13. Half the body of Christ will think he's Jesus, Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins, and will worship him. You're gonna have a new king.
Verse 20, that we may be also like all the nations.
We want to be like them. Now, climate change is nothing but a power grab control. Amen. I realize there are a few simple-minded people who believe that. The leaders themselves propagating climate change know that's not going to be. When they can make you have begging for air for summer, begging for heat for winter, begging for food, begging for clothing, begging for shelter, they've got you there. So now the Antichrist is going to come and say peace and safety cause craft to prosper. He's a liar, John 8. And he's going to offer you all of this, but he's lying to you. Remember when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was running for office? She said she is a democratic socialist, means she's a communist Marxist. She said, vote for me and you'll get free vacations, free education, free stuff, free cars, free homes, free clothes. Wow, wow, wow. Lies, lies, lies. You don't get anything free. You're going to be a slave begging for a piece of bread.
That our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
See, Marxism makes you think that Marxism is going to take care of you, but the Antichrist is coming and he's not going to take care of you. Look what's happened in the last 2 years with Joe Biden. We're not being taken care of all. That's Marxism. Amen.
Verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words of the people.
He graciously listened. A good leader listens.
And he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord.
He told the Lord, but the Lord knew.
Verse 22, and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king.
God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you want to believe a lie, although I've warned you and warned you and warned you, go ahead, believe the lie.
Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city.
Everybody go home. I'll arrange this for you. America, we've got just a little window here. God's arm is still outstretched for you. We've got to have every Christian in America, in every area, come together. One day appointed, we have the media to do it. And we can do this. And if America, you will not only pray but do, this means every single Christian in the government, in the media, in education, in business, in churches, in homes. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves, this means fast, and pray, not dead praying, not God save America, pray fervently in the spirit, and seek my face. Turn back to your first love, America. Revelation says, turn back to your first love. You've forgotten Jesus who birthed you, America. And turn from your wicked ways, America. He's just talking to the Christians, repent. You've been so lukewarm. You've been so busy. You don't have time to pray. You can't even be a prayer partner with someone you're assigned to. You're too busy. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent of not praying enough. Prayer is the power. Repent of not praying in the spirit. Pray without ceasing. God says, I will hear from heaven, America. I'll forgive your sins, America. And I will heal your land. Amen. If we'll do this, America, we will again be free, safe, law-abiding, peaceful. One nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray you are touched and I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you at this time the owner of the produce place. This man loves God. He loves his wife. He loves his children. And he loves people. And this is his birthday.
Yeah.
Let's give a shout of happy birthday to Scott Mercer.
Thank you, Sherry.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. The message is so on target.
Yes.
Yep, amen.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9.
Great Scott. Before we went on the air, I prayed that. I bet you heard me say that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That is great. That was the Holy Spirit using you.
Amen.
Before I pray for healing, it's time to get saved, everybody in the world. All out in cyberspace, anybody, and if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart, and the Lord will save you. Jesus is coming again after the Antichrist, and he's the real king.
Yeah.
So pray this with me. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you who prayed that, you may pray and call him Father now because you're his child. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus is the password. Jesus said, don't pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Also, all of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell a lot of people. You may tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, excuse me, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number and leave your confession on there. When I get it, I'll pray for you. Welcome to the family of God. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. Now, new Christians, get yourself a King James Bible. That is the only translation that you could trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, Aramaic, and Greek. And you need to get that. And you pray to the Father every day in the name of Jesus. Find a place in your home that's just you and God. Nobody in there but you and God. And pray every day. Go to church somewhere where the Bible is taught, book, chapter, verse, and line, where the Holy Spirit leads and governs his baptism, and they operate in the gifts of Holy Spirit, and where they have a midweek service for prayer, because prayer is the assignment of every Christian. And only the reason America has been conquered is because the Christians don't pray. You just say little dead words. So go and pray. And I love you. God bless you. My email is shari.medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. There's someone, quite a few people, you're suffering badly with hypertension, and that can lead to a heart attack or stroke. The blood pressure's gotten too high, and it's very uncomfortable. The pressure is overwhelming. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, let the blood pressure come down. Let the blood flow in an even flow through the veins. Let there be peace. Let there be divine order. Let the heart be healed. Let there be perfect circulation of their blood in the heart and all over the body. In the name of Jesus, live and not die. The pressure be gone. The headaches be gone. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He restores health and cure to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Somebody got that. I feel the anointing all over my hands. It's all over there. Somebody got that. Praise the Lord. I hope I got it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. This is your best friend, Sherry Medlock, and I'm going to give you the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yes, I am your second best friend. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I mean, on the lonely holidays, he's right there with you. He's the one who hugs you. He's the one who cries when you cry. He's the one who feels your pain. Love him. Give your life to him. I love you too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Mercy to walk humbly with our God. The song I watch it break on through. I wanna go where you go, wanna move where you move. Wanna love who you love, watch it break on through. I wanna go where you go, wanna move where you move. Wanna love who you love, watch it break on through. I wanna go where you go, wanna move where you move. Watch it break on.
Yeah.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne and the beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira.
One of the reasons God often feels far away is we're operating in an environment where his spirit is not comfortable.
Dr. Tony Evans says how you choose to live will influence God's involvement in your life.
The Holy Spirit will never function in a chaotic environment.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended from heaven and rested on him. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explores the significance of that image.
It's very interesting, something that I looked at afresh this week in preparing for this time, that even though the Holy Spirit is spoken of as a dove, in Luke's rendition of this event, in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And the Spirit of God came down from heaven in bodily form like a dove." Why would the Holy Spirit be called a dove? The dove is one of the most sensitive birds in God's creation. It may be the most sensitive bird. We find the dove when there was the flood, the worldwide flood with Noah in Genesis chapter 8. When Noah wanted to find out if the waters had subsided, he sent out a dove. The dove went out and flew back because there was no land, it was only water. Noah sent the dove out again, according to Genesis 8. The dove flew back because there was no place to land. But now, this next time that he sends the dove out, the dove comes back with an olive branch in its mouth, letting Noah know that the water has subsided, because now the dove could pick an olive plant